Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Matamba, how are you doing?
Greetings, brothers. Up. How are you?
Very well, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Very well.
Lovely. Great to hear that and great to hear from you. Now, we're looking at the value, the true value of kindness, which lies actually in an unpredictability. Yet you never know how small, you know, an act of kindness will resonate with someone. A seemingly insignificant gesture can have a profound and lasting impact on someone else. But should I be doing good for the purpose of repayment of some kind, even if it's not toward me? And so we're going to be talking about that. Now, Pastor, is it fair to do something kind for someone with the expectation that they should pay it forward? Shouldn't we just do good for the sake of just doing good and leaving it there?
I think let's look at it from a biblical point of view. I don't remember any scripture or any passage from the Bible that tells us to do good so that the person we have done good to will then do it also for another person in the future. It's I can say the concept is correct, but it's not biblical. I would say we should do good regardless of whatever the person will react to another person in the future. Our point, our duty is to do what is right. I think I can direct you to a passage which I find in the Bible, in Luke chapter 14, where Jesus is telling his disciples from verse 12 to verse 14 of Luke chapter 14, telling them that if you are to make a supper or a feast, there are certain kinds of people that you should invite to your feast. And Jesus says that when you make a feast, I'm reading from verse 18, call the poor, the maimed, the lame, the blind, and thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just. But we can borrow a principle here. The people that we are calling for the feast, the poor, the blind, those who are lame, the orphans, surely you wouldn't expect them to go and do it for another person, because already these are people who are already not privileged. They don't have the resources already. So you are just doing good for them, not necessarily that they should go and also do it for somebody, but you are just doing it for them. And that's your duty, to just do good, regardless of what the person will do in the future with the with whatever gift you have given them. So let's just do good. I think that's the principle we should go with.
Yeah, without any expectation whatsoever.
Yes, without expecting anything.
Now, how can we continue to do good for people who are not appreciative and who are actually entitled?
Yeah, this is the most difficult part of charity. Usually you meet people who don't even appreciate what you have done. They don't say thank you. They don't even want to see you even after you have done good. But you know, this is what I've always taught as a preacher, that our motivation in giving does not come from the reaction of the people. Once you are motivated by what people say or what people do when you give, to them, I think you might be having wrong reasons to give. Our motivation for giving comes from what Christ has done for us. And remember, Christ died for people who don't even love him. He died for people who did not know about him. And he knew that some of these people will reject me even if I've died for them. So in the shoes of Christ, when we put on the garment of Christ, we are supposed to be doing good to people regardless of how they react. I would quote from the Bible in Luke chapter 6. We are told that Verse 27, I think to verse 29. Allow me to read these passages. I think they can guide us in answering this. But I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. Now, you are doing good to somebody who hates you. It means you are doing good to somebody who doesn't appreciate what you have done.
Oh, my goodness.
So this is what Christ did for us.
Well, he was a God also, and we are not a God.
Yeah, but remember, when he came down on earth, he became a man because he wanted to be like us.
But some are telling us that he was fully God and fully man.
He was fully God and fully man, but the button of divinity was never activated when he was on earth.
No, surely it was activated, because this is not humanly possible.
It is possible. He operated as a human being.
I'm saying that to do good to those who actually hate you.
Who hate you, yes.
No, is it humanly possible, really?
It is. And not until we are in Christ and Christ in us can this be possible. That's why Christ has to be in us, and we are supposed to be in Christ.
Are we not stretching this thing, though?
No, we are not stretching it. We are not stretching it. To those who are children of God, it's going to be possible. But if you are half in the world and half in Christ, then it will not be possible. You need to be fully in Christ.
Look, Pastor Matambo, I'm talking about people who are hating you. In fact, when they hate you, they are planning actively your demise.
Yes, they are planning your downfall.
Your downfall, so that they can crack up and show the world that there is he on the floor, he has fallen. And expect that people should continue to do good to those people?
Exactly. You see, if Christ knew that it is impossible for human beings, surely he wouldn't have recommended us to do this. He knew that it's going to be possible. That's why he told us that, I say unto you, which you hear, which year? It means us today. He spoke it to his disciples. He's also speaking to us today. It's possible. Bless them that curse you. I'm now reading verse 28. Bless them that curse you, and pray for them which despitefully use you. There is something that is so hateful when somebody uses you, and you realize that this person has been using me. Christ says, pray for them. You're not praying for them to die. You're actually wishing them good. Verse 29 says that, and unto him that smiteth thee on the one cheek, offer also the other. And him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not him to take thy cloak away. So it's something that Christ would surely not recommend, something that he knows is impossible at a human level.
Yeah, I don't know, Pastor, because Christ, for instance, was without sin. But we are yet to see one among us who is without sin. We are yet to. He himself said to the guys who were, who caught the woman in adultery. He said, "Anybody without sin among you must throw the first stone." I mean, he knew that no human being was without sin, and he himself was without sin.
Now, I wish you could. I wish you could organize a session for this topic that you are introducing already.
Okay. All right.
One day, I think we'll need to do it, maybe probably a week or so, to analyze how human beings can live in this world without sin. It's possible.
It will be lovely. It will be possible. Lovely, definitely.
Yes. But let me tell you this. Though Christ without sin, he has made it possible by his death on the cross and his life today in the heavenly sanctuary. He has made it possible for us to be able to live the life which he lived on earth.
To love the unlovable.
To love the unlovable, yes. To do what as human beings think it's impossible to do. That's why he lives today. To enable us to do the things. That's why Philippians 4 verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. All things also includes loving the unlovable, doing good to those
Who among us has achieved this thing?
I would tell you that there are quite many. Just that
It's not the topic of discussion.
We are waiting.
Yeah, and it's not the topic of discussion today.
Yes.
So we're digressing. We are digressing.
Yeah, it's important. It's healthy also as well to digress a bit. But it's possible. People have done it.
Now let's get back then to our topic. How is God then glorified in these acts of service? I mean, if I do something good for somebody who does not even believe in God, they don't even have any thinking about God whatsoever. They're just going to be thinking, oh, that guy, man, he is so good. You know, Zama is such a good guy. How is God even glorified then with these acts of service?
Okay. Whenever we do good, whenever we do these kind acts of service, we are actually portraying the character of God. Surely there is nobody who can do these things unless they are doing it through God, or God is doing it through them. So whenever we do such things, it is God who receives the entire glory.
I think that as Christians, that's how we understand that it is God who gets the glory. However, there are people who don't believe in God, who have never had any experience with God, who will just simply just praise Matambo for doing such a lovely thing. And they will end it there with Matambo. And they've got no relationship, no thinking about a God or anything of that. All they know is that Matambo is such a fantastic guy, man. What a lovely guy.
That's I've always thought that when a Christian does something, don't be like, we call them non-governmental organizations. They will just come into a village and they give food. And they don't tell you about God. They don't tell anything. They don't say anything about Christ. They just give food and they go away.
And they leave.
But when a Christian does something, you should mention it as well. That these things that I'm doing, I'm doing it so that God may be glorified. You should do the works. Let your mouth also compliment the acts that you have done. Yes. Tell people that whatever you see me doing, it's not me. It's God actually do these things. I couldn't have made it. Yeah. I couldn't have built this church if it was not for God who has enabled me to build for you a church. I couldn't have bought these things for you if it wasn't for God. So a Christian should not just be like a non-government organization. You should mention who is making you to do these things. Mention the power behind you.
Talk about what is it that is propelling you to do this.
Yes. Preach the gospel of the good news to add to those people that you have already given something. That's how you should do it.
So effectively, I meet a Zama who is, in need of this, that, or the other, and I then say, listen, Zama, you know, I'm going to do this, but as I'm doing this, don't look at me.
That's very true.
There is a power behind it.
Is
that how it should go?
That's how it should go. Actually, if you do it and you don't tell them that it's Christ who is doing it through you, then you might end up getting the glory. You might end up receiving the praises that you are not supposed to receive. And you see, it's dangerous for a human being to receive glory. We are not wired to receive glory. Our wiring doesn't accept that the glory passes through us, otherwise it will burn us. You see now.
Now I just want to check then, how do the acts of service impact the wider community?
Okay.
So I've done this for this particular gentleman, lovely and good, and really it was between me and them. Does it affect the wider community? How does it, if it does?
It does. Remember, whatever you do, you have addressed a community problem. Whatever you do to people, you are addressing their challenges. You are addressing the needs in that community, or the needs of that person who stays in that community. And when you do it, remember, there are other people who are watching what you are doing, and they'll see, oh, okay, this is how we should be living with others. Okay, we have seen that gentleman at that corner there. We see him. He has put a tap. You know, let me speak of it. What is happening here in Zimbabwe?
Mm-hmm.
Water is a problem, even in the cities. So those who drill balls, if they are Christian enough, they will put a tap outside the gate, so that water can be accessed by the community. That's what our conference has done here. We drilled a ball at our conference offices, and we have put a water tap outside the jura wall, so that the community can access that water.
Mm.
So the entire community comes to fetch water, which is being provided by the Seventh-day Adventist Church. So we've already impacted the entire community. And I want to tell you that not only us, I've seen that with passage of time, there are people who have drilled boreholes, and they've done that to also help the community. They've put water taps outside their gates so that the community can also fetch water, because they've seen it happening elsewhere.
Mm.
So it becomes now a community thing. It becomes now our, we now start to own the problems of our community, solve them together.
Mm.
Those we have seen us doing it, they say, this is good. Let's do it also. And by the time you realize it, the entire community is already fired up with that spirit. So when we do such things, we empower also and give hope to others. That's how we impact the community. Those who might have lost hope, they start to see, no, we are loved in this community. There are people who care for us in this community. This is what they've done for us. Maybe they were probably planning to relocate because there is no water in the area. They start to say, no, there's no need for us to relocate anymore. There is water. Somebody has provided water.
Mm.
So this is how we are impacting the community.
Mm. It's a powerful one. Well, Pastor Matambo, I must thank you so much for having joined us this entire week. Well, up until today, we are going to be eternally grateful for your participation and your teachings here on the Adventist World Radio. And I do hope that the listeners as well have gone all the wiser, because you have come through and been used by God to actually impart these very, very significant lessons. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Brother Zama. You're welcome. Thank you so much for the opportunity also to present. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
All right.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.